Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Off the Air Radio Show, brought to you live every Friday night on the Vibe Radio Network from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. From the Gun Room in Speedway, Indiana, I am your host, Aldo Gonzalez, moderator of the modicum, interviewer of the intelligent, and guiler of my guests. This is the place where I talk about anything and everything that interests me and where my guests are mighty, brave, and full of all sorts of useful information that will not make any of us rich, but only provide some entertainment for your Friday nights. No story is off limits. No guest is too big or too small. We may use profanity, so if certain words offend you, here is my apology for that now. We will always attempt to be professional. But in the end, we just want to have fun, laugh, and enjoy each other's strange and curious stories. That being said, make sure you've already gone to the bathroom, that you've got your cup of coffee or cup of tea or soda nearby, that your dog is sleeping soundly at your feet, and that the cat has already been brought inside, because we will take no commercial breaks. It's just going to be me, you, and my guests for the next hour. Welcome, everyone, and thank you so very much for tuning in to tonight's show. Here at Off the Air Radio, we believe in teamwork because it helps to put the blame on someone else. Tonight's show is brought to you by Clear Choice Restoration, your helping hand when it comes to hail, wind, and storm damage. Most people don't even know that they may indeed have damage to their roof, gutters, and siding, and with all the storms that's hit Indiana the past couple of weeks, Clear Choice is the people you need to call to get the damage fixed. Call Clear Choice Restoration for a free roof inspection and tell them that Al sent you. In Indiana, call 317-358-8630. That's 317-358-8630. Call and schedule for your free inspection today. Well, every week I talk about one weird thing. This week's weird thing syncs very well with tonight's guest and topic, Bigfoot. I have spent many, many hours researching and reading about Indian history in Northeast Indiana, and especially the Miami Indians who lived there for a few hundred years. Unfortunately, the Miami Indians of Northeast Indiana and middle of Indiana do not have a word for Bigfoot. Instead, they've utilized their enemy's name for Bigfoot. The Miami Indians and the Iroquois Indians have been bitter rivals for hundreds of years, each one taking ground from the other and then losing it again. Well, the Iroquois have known of Bigfoot for a long time, and they call it Stonecoat in their language, obviously referring to their strength, maybe their size. And the Miami used the Koi language for Bigfoot. Ginosqua is the word that the Iroquois use. Ginosqua, meaning Stonecoat. That kind of sounds to me like Sasquatch. Ginosqua, Sasquatch, right? Does that mean that the Indians who've lived in the land that we call Indiana for the past thousands of years have lived alongside of Bigfoot? There's a lot of people in Indiana who believe that, especially in southern Indiana. Well, maybe. All I know is that that's just one more weird thing about Indiana, and that's tonight's one weird thing. Well, I've got a contest going on tonight. If you're listening to me live, I've got a book to give away. It's called The Feeders at Night. It's my book, the book I wrote about living in a haunted house for 7 years. It was depicted in TLC's hit show, A Haunting. The episode name for that, my particular show, is called Fear Feeders. And if you Google search it, you can find it out there on the interwebs and on YouTube. So if you like scary stories, if you're not afraid of the things that go bump in the night, or even if you are afraid of those things, you can pick this book up for free right now. All you got to do is be the first caller into the show tonight with a very interesting question for our special guest, and I will send you an autographed copy all for yourself. You may hold on to it. You could give it away to your Aunt Betsy. You can put it on the back of your toilet and read about it whenever you're doing your wild thing there in the bathroom. Whatever you want, it'll be yours. The number to call for the show tonight, code 516-387-1922, 516-387-1922. I've got this tickle in my throat tonight, and I'm worried that it's going to screw up the show a little bit, because I tend to, after I talk a lot, I tend to start coughing. So if I start coughing, I apologize. Tonight, I have a very special co-host. It's the wonderful Tina Harder, who is herself a Bigfoot researcher out of Ohio. She's a Facebook friend of mine. She's a member of the Bigfoot Under the Radar group. They go field researching Bigfoot all over the place. And in addition to her researching of Bigfoot, she's also a very accomplished photographer. And she often posts her nature pictures, you know, where she's out hunting Bigfoot. She's taking pictures of the nature around her and everything. She often posts those pictures on her Facebook page. I always like them when I see them because they're beautiful pictures. So they are wonderful. They call her Lil Whoop. Lil Whoop. How the hell are you tonight?
Hello, I'm doing great.
Good, good. I'm glad you're here. We've talked quite a bit on the phone about different things, Bigfoot in general and whatnot. So it's kind of fun. It's a good show to have you on tonight as the co-host. So do you got some real good questions for our guest tonight? What are you going to ask him?
I have some great questions to ask. You know, we'll just have to wait till later on, and I think it's going to be a very, very good show for everyone to sit down and stay seated and listen to, and I can't wait to get on with introducing our special guest.
Yeah, I am excited. If you would go on Google and you type in important people in the Bigfoot field, no matter what link you click after that, somewhere in the list will be Marlon K. Davis, MK. Now, go to YouTube and type MK Davis. What find are dozens of videos about MK, from MK, concerning MK, most of them all about Bigfoot. He is a video and photographic expert, and his work on the Patterson film in particular has been outstanding and groundbreaking, where he's been able to bring to light features of the Bigfoot that was depicted in that that film. And uncovered insights and things that people didn't really see before. And it helps us, whenever we're watching it, know exactly what we're seeing in that old film. So if you ask him about Sasquatch, be prepared to walk away a true believer, because MK knows his stuff. So MK, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight and sharing your wealth of knowledge on all things Sasquatch.
Well, thanks for having me, Al. I appreciate it. Look forward to some Bigfoot exchange tonight.
Bigfoot exchange. I'm excited about it. I want to start my questions off with the most important question anybody can ever ask about Sasquatch. It is simply this: are there Bigfoots living in the wilds of North America and possibly even Indiana?
Well, I'll have to say without question that there are. And, you know, my career has taken me, and I kind of backed into the Bigfoot pursuit through astronomy and astrophotography. I did space photography. I had several large telescopes, and when I saw a couple of frames from that famous film that were really, they were from like master copy, and they were just superbly clear, and that got my attention, because you can't get a good frame like that from a bad film, and almost everything you saw the film was grainy and shaky and dark, and very little you can tell about it. So there's got to be more to this. There's got to be a better copy of the film somewhere, and I started that way. But once I did the work on that film, and you could see the muscles, and you could see the biomechanics and the things that you see every day in life on that film, well, then other things began to open up. You know, I began to say, well, if there's one, there's more. You know, where could I go see one? So it began a sort of a secondary pursuit of actually me going to look for Bigfoot. And I found that they are indeed there. And I've been ghost. They're there. Even in Indiana.
And you're talking, yeah, the film that you're talking about is the Patterson film, right?
Patterson film, right.
Did I see somewhere that you got...
Go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just going to ask, did I see somewhere that you got a hold of, like, the original copies?
No, I've got frames from the original copy.
Oh, okay.
And then I have a second-gen copy, which is pretty good. So I had enough that I could work with and use some of my astrophotography skills on those frames. It works quite well. So some of the stuff has been pretty novel that I've done with the film. You know, if you run that film at the proper speed, you know, it's always run too fast because they took it at very slow speed. And if you click between the frames, there's a lot of the event that did not get filmed. You know, it's missing between the frames.
Mm-hmm.
So it flickers when you run it at the correct speed. It's real badly. So the people that show the film or display it speed it up to stop the flickering. And when you do that, then the biomechanics are all off. It begins to look like, you know, if your hands are made of styrofoam, you can work them a lot quicker than if they're made of lead.
Mm-hmm.
The biomechanics are really important. If you run that thing at the proper speed, then you know you can see the mass, the mass of the muscles. When you swing the arm, it's like try taking a 12-pound weight, put in your arm, and walk, and let that swing. It makes a huge difference. And so once I was able to determine the proper speed, and by the way, it actually agreed with the Eagle Burtseth's assessment that he made back in the 70s, him and Dmitry Bayanov over in Russia. But, you know, they figured the speed by counting the steps of Patterson, you know, and the timing. I didn't do that. I went to the Bluff Creek site, recreated the filming, and then I was the Bigfoot in the recreation, and I knew that the Bigfoot took four steps without looking down. He looked back at the camera and continued to walk the four steps. So I did that, and when I did a split screen with the actual Patterson film, she beat me through those four steps by 25%. And there's no way something that large could do that. It told me that the film was running way too fast.
Hmm.
I slowed it down to where we synced, and then the flickering was so bad that I had to actually invent a process to stop the flickering, because there was so much of the event between the frames that did not get filmed. What I did was to create a transition frame, which was a combination of the foreframe and the aft frame together in about a 50% transparency. And it fills that gap so that your eye and your mind does not switch off because of the flickering. You know, it's a cinematic effect that your brain will hold the previous frame till the second frame begins. Well, if you wait too long, it won't.
Mm-hmm.
So when I fill that gap, it ran beautifully at slow speeds. It was just smooth and silky. I went through extra pain to stabilize it.
Yeah, let me ask you something real quick here. I just want to kind of interject because we're talking about the Patterson film, and I'm wondering if there may not be people, well, there may be people listening that aren't real familiar with it. So, you know, if you go to YouTube and you type in M.K. Davis Patterson film, there's a number of different things that you've done on YouTube that people can look at. So I would encourage anybody that doesn't know what we're talking about, that film, which is hard to believe, but there could be some people out there that aren't familiar with the Patterson film. Just go to YouTube as we're live here. You know, you got to mute the YouTube video part so you can listen to us and listen to MK talk about it. But I would encourage you to do that. Go to YouTube, type in MK Davis Patterson film, and you'll see exactly what he's talking about. It's really like the original or one of the very first films of a Bigfoot, correct?
There were some other, there were photographs, certainly. There were some other films, too. They were very poor quality. One guy was a scout leader. Got one hopping across the stream from rock to rock. But it's very distant, and the quality was very low.
Mm-hmm.
So the Patterson film is sort of like the touchstone. Everything else is kind of judged from that, and rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
Roger Patterson, when I hear that it's a shaky, grainy film, it's not much good, I really get upset, kind of. I mean, it's nothing could be further from the truth. The original film itself was very a sterling piece of cinema. They made was to give it to scientists before they gave it to a photographic expert.
Mm-hmm.
Because that film could have been cleaned up and stabilized, even though it had to be done in a lab where you can do it digitally now. But back then, but it still could have been done, and there were some attempts at it down through the years. But yeah, you don't want to give it to a scientist when it's not in its best form.
Mm-hmm.
If you're asking the scientists to believe something that by and large is considered to be absurd or impossible. And you know, Patterson, I don't mean to be knocking what he did. I mean, you consider the days and having something like that on your film. You know, he said, well, this, you know, you say in your own mind, this is going to be it. This is going to nail it. You have to, you misjudge, I know he did, he misjudged the skepticism, the amount of skepticism that it would meet. And there were many scientists that viewed it and did not even finish viewing it, didn't ask for a second run.
Hmm.
You know, so it would have been a lot better if that film had Patty stabilized, you know, walking across there as if it was taken on a tripod, and in its best form, it's a lot harder to argue against it.
So, Tina, go ahead and ask that question, that second question.
Yes, MK, I do have a question for you. What exactly, in your opinion, what do you think a Sasquatch is? Is it human, Neanderthal? I mean, with doing what you've done, as far as the studying the different few videos that you have and seeing what you've seen, what do you think a Sasquatch really is?
Well, Tina, where I am right now is that a Bigfoot, when you refer to a Bigfoot, is in
mm-hmm.
reference to one of the giant, the hairy giants, and the giants that have those splayed toes and the real long foot, with all the toes kind of moved forward without the steep curve. They're kind of just stubby toes in a splayed fashion. And it's an example of that would be the Paul Freeman footage.
Mm-hmm.
And then a Sasquatch. A Sasquatch is a hybrid. It is the offspring of the Paul Freeman type and a human.
Hold on a second. That is the absolute first time I've ever heard that before. That Sasquatch and Bigfoot are two separate things.
Well, that's what I've come to realize.
Oh, okay, all right.
That if you go to the native peoples that are living in the areas where these Bigfoot are, they have a long history with them. They'll tell you that they would kidnap their women, and there were some pregnancies involved. They'll also tell you in the Bluff Creek area that the Bigfoot, the giant Bigfoot, the hairy giant, is no longer in that area. What's left is the hybrids that were from those unions, and they vary in the amount of features that they have that are Bigfoot or human.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the cleaned up, cleared up versions of the Patterson film, or look at her track, that's the best way you can do. Look at her track, and it's simply a large human-like track. It's got the toes all forward with a curve. You know, the little toe is way back, and you go in an arch to the big toe. That's a human-type foot. You look at the Paul Freeman track, which I've got one right here with me now, quite a different foot. So the Indians bear that out when they tell you, you know, that these things, the big giants, the big hairy giants are no longer there. There's nothing left there now but Sasquatch.
Hmm.
But the true giants is what are capable of getting really large. I mean, they get some of them above 10 feet.
Right.
And if you looked at a hairy giant in the face, you wouldn't see much that you would recognize as a human. Get a Sasquatch in the face like Patty. There's quite a bit that looks human on her.
Give me some more facts about Bigfoot and Sasquatch. You know, how many reported sightings are there in each year in North America? You know, give me some other things. You were talking about a Sasquatch is the hybrid. So is the Bigfoot or the true giants, you know, do they come in all sorts of different colors, or is that just the Sasquatch? You know, give me some facts about them.
The true giants are kind of rare. They're gone from most places. If you were to take a DNA sample off of a true giant, you would get quite a bit of different result than you would off of a Sasquatch. Off of a Sasquatch, you'll get something very similar to what Miss Ketchum got on her study.
Right.
With a human mother and father unknown subject, you would probably not get human.
Just unknown.
Right, just an unknown. There's enough human there to do a union, but it's rare. I mean, it may be 1 in 100 rapes that a pregnancy actually occurs, because they're not a compatible species, really. It can happen, but likely not to happen.
Of unions aren't happening now, are they? Do you hear reports of people still getting abducted and raped and whatever?
Well, the last one I heard of personally was a guy told me that in 72 or 73 that he was trying to film a Bigfoot at the Patterson site. A Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. He just said a Bigfoot. Ran off with one of his female employees. And she stayed gone for 3 days. Now, I have no way of verifying that, but you can look in the papers in the local area, and they had a massive manhunt for her. And the two counties involved thought about who was going to pay the bill. She shows up, I think 3 days later, and they say that she was not disheveled enough, so they believed it was a hoax.
Wow.
But she never said it was a hoax. You don't know, you know, because she never talked. She was speechless mm-hmm. when she came out of the woods, and that's all there is on it. I talked mm-hmm. to this guy. He lived there in Willow Creek, and I was staying at a motel that he owned. And I had no idea that this had occurred with him, but when he saw me, you know, they were talking, I was talking about the Patterson family, my friend, and he told me the whole story. And like I said, I don't have any way of verifying that, but that seems to be the modus operandi, that if opportunity is there, you do it, you take it. And they don't have a moral compass. That's what I'm saying. They're not human. They don't have that inner conscience. It's just what's mm-hmm. available right then. Some of them are dangerous, some of them not so much dangerous. There's no way to tell what's going to happen if you encounter one. But my mm-hmm. guess is that if the best thing you can do, and this is what the Hoopas say, do, if you encounter a true giant, they said, talk to it in whatever language that you know. Don't stop talking, back away, and get out of there.
Well, what's that and, by just talking with them? Calm down?
Well, it confuses them. They don't know if you're there alone or not.
Oh.
You see, they're afraid of firearms. And if there's somebody out there that's with you that it will know he can't see, it's subject not to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thinking behind that. Almost everything that the Native people say is in a negative light. Counter a true giant, it's negative. It's a negative experience.
Hmm.
And if you look at the, I've done work on the Freeman footage, and I've stabilized it. And that thing gives him a stare, man. And when it stops there, it just puts one of those laser stares. And if he hadn't been talking to himself, he might have been in a world of trouble.
Yeah, you're right, because he talked to himself almost throughout the entire footage. He was like, he was got given a play-by-play of what he was filming. Oh, look here, they're down here.
Exactly.
They're down here in the creek. Look at that. It looks like a little print. Those guys probably were just down here. Yeah, he absolutely is. That makes a lot of sense. How about that?
Well, whether he intended to do that or not, he did exactly what the Hoopas say to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it confuses them, and it may make the difference between whether they want a piece of you or not.
Mm-hmm.
That one, if you look at him, except for being on two legs, it don't favor Patty at all.
It almost looked fatter, like it was. It may have been
more of an animalistic looking. They got a nasty attitude too.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's no way to tell. You don't really have the perspective on size, but I think that it was probably pretty good size.
Mm-hmm. That was a female, right?
It picks up a small one, but, you know, you can't see enough of it to see if it's a female or not.
Yeah.
It picks up
a
small one, and it gets directly behind it. It picks up a small one.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Freeman footage a little bit later too, because it's one of my favorite footages. Actually, I like it better than Patterson, only because
go ahead. Two different things. You're looking at in the Freeman footage, you're looking at a true giant, and in the Patterson footage, you're looking at a Sasquatch hybrid. So it's really apples and oranges. Except that they both live in similar places.
Mm-hmm.
And you're less likely to get any problems out of a hybrid. Now, they usually just walk away, but
mm-hmm.
there's no guarantee.
Yeah, go ahead, Tina. Ask that next question.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry. I didn't know. So in your experience in Bigfooting, what do you believe they live off of, and what do they eat? You know, how do they stay warm? Do they have family units, per se? What is your opinion on any one of those questions?
Well, you know, there's been cases where people did see a group of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Albert Osman saw what he considered to be a family unit. But, and you know, they must have family units, but
right.
They're not very social. And a lot of the time they're just lone individuals. You know, it's that what they eat, if they eat what's available. You know, can they survive? Yeah, I guess they do. They're out there. But there's a lot of people
mm-hmm.
say there may be another mechanism involved, and that I don't know about. That'll have to be solved one day when they're able to examine one. But, it should not be as big as they are. If you put a human being in the same area where the Patterson film was filmed and let them live out there for a while, they're going to go down to being lanky. And they may live and do okay, but they're not going to be big like her.
Right.
You know, it takes a lot to support that kind of musculature, mm-hmm. and it's not explained adequately. I don't think you're going to get that big a muscle mass from eating Oregon grapes and berries and what have you. It takes a tremendous amount of protein.
Do you think that their diet is very similar to like a bear's diet? You know, they'll eat fruits and nuts, and then every now and then they'll kill a deer for meat, because, you know, a grizzly bear is a very large animal too. So I would have to think that whatever the grizzly bear is living off of, a Bigfoot, because of the mass, is going to have to live off that same type of a diet.
Well, a grizzly bear is not a human. And neither is a Sasquatch. We have a tendency to put human parameters on.
Right.
That's what I was fixing to say, that what they do with that food has to be very different in order to get those. See, even a grizzly puts on a lot of weight, but it's winter fat. You know, it goes up and down with seasons. But that Sasquatch you see in the Patterson film, it's all muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for a human being to get like that, you know what people do. I mean, they take steroids and they pump all day long. They have an 8-hour regimen of working
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
And they eat, you know, the bodybuilding stuff, you know, the whey and all of that. And still they'd have a hard time getting like he is.
Right.
So the nuts and bolts, the inner nuts and bolts, almost have to be different. The way things are processed, the way things are broken down, it has to be different, very different from a human. That's why I say the true giants, you're not going to get anything human in their tests. It is just very little. They are very similar to, I don't know if you've ever heard of the Denisovans or the Denisovans.
Yeah, I have heard of them.
It's a relatively recent discovery over there in Siberia in a cave there. Well, they're not human. They're hominids. And a Denisovan teeth is two or three times bigger than a human tooth. They were able to determine that they probably between 8 and 9 feet tall. But what was weird was once they were able to get DNA out of that tooth, the DNA, and they could identify it, they found it in 4% of the human population.
Huh.
Around there. See, this is not a species that should be able to breed with a human, but they do. They did. Exactly like the Hoopa said, the true giants bred. out of 100 rapes, there may be one person that actually had a child. But once you get that out there, and then there's two or three or five or eight, then those mixed bloods will get with each other and they'll have children. And then you'll have a hodgepodge. And that's kind of what people observe. I read an account where it was a bear hunter in Canada saw a group of Sasquatch off in the distance, and he put his rifle scope on them. He was very surprised to see that only about half of them had hairy bodies.
Where was that?
The others had very little hair at all, but they were all big.
Where was that at again?
It was in Canada. I'd have to find the story again. I read it a long time ago.
Wow, yeah, that's fascinating.
That's why I'm saying you're getting a lot of mixed blood, you know, in there. But the true giants have almost disappeared. There's not very many of them. Yeah, they're here and there. I'd say that probably in the high Sierras, the ones that Ron Moorhead was able to record their sounds, and he's got photographs of their tracks. Those are true giants.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some there. The ones at Bluff Creek are probably gone, like they say they are. All in between the pockets of the true giants, here and there, there are Sasquatch,
mm-hmm.
the leftovers. They're stuck. You know, they have to. They're kind of living outside true giants and living outside of humans. You know, kind of a terrible place to be, but they make it okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you would ask any of my non-believing Bigfoot friends, and it seems like I've got a lot of them, just the other day I was having breakfast with some people from work, and one of the guys that they're at work, he's like, he's a true non-believer. He just does not believe in Bigfoot. But if you would ask them, most of them have this wrong perception that there's like one Bigfoot walking around because they haven't done any research. They just don't know. They don't fully understand that Bigfoot or Sasquatch are widespread across the world, and there could be thousands, if not tens of thousands, of them, you know, living in the wilds. So my question to you is, how many Bigfoots or Sasquatch do you believe there actually are in North America, and just how widespread are they? Are they closer to metropolitan areas than we think? Because I have a perception in my mind, I am not a Bigfoot researcher. I've never gone Bigfooting. I've never looked for a Bigfoot, right? But I got this thing deep down in my soul, in my heart, that says the odds of them being near humans has got to be very small. That most likely they're way up in Canada or way over the northeast of the United States. But here I've got you who you go hunt them in eastern Texas. And I know Tina, she's seen Bigfoots in Ohio. So
mm-hmm.
How many Bigfoots, Sasquatches are there in North America, and just how widespread are they?
Well, I hate to try to put a number on them, but I say that there's going to be a lot more of the Sasquatch version than there are the true giants. The true giants are truly rare. And everything that I've heard about them tells me that they do not like firearms, and they won't hang around anywhere where people have firearms. Now, the opposite, you know, maybe for the Sasquatch, they seem to be less so. There's a lot more of them, and they tend to hang around the periphery of human habitation. But you got to try to think along those lines that they're part human.
Mm-hmm.
So that why wouldn't they? they're stuck. They, you can't go home to daddy, can't go home to mama. So they do, they will hang around, you know, if they can get what, if there's enough place to hide, you know, periphery of where people are. You know, it's a, if you're willing to eat the leftovers of what people throw away, you can do pretty well. I remember seeing where this town had a couple of bears that wandered in out of the wilderness, and they took up residence in the town. And those bears, in 6 months, they were unrecognizable, just eating garbage. You know, we threw away more protein than they could ever find, and carbs and everything, you know.
Right.
You know, just hanging around on the outside, you know, edges of periphery of human habitation, can you can make a living if you're willing to eat like that. But they have that. I imagine this is only me speculation, but them being part human, you know, that they have some kind of a longing to interact, you know. And I think that's what people that habituate, they see that. And they say, you know, well, I this is a feral person or a wild person, but only partly. You know, it's still taking a big chance. But with a true giant, you can't do that.
MK, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I believe that there is Sasquatch just from the experiences that I have had. And what I was wondering was what your opinion is, you know, why has there been no bones found? Why has there been no bodies found? You know, the credible photos, the good videos, you know, where is the, you know, the good evidence out there that if someone non-like myself that is not a true believer that there is Sasquatch out there or Bigfoot, you know, what would you, how would you kind of answer that? You know, why haven't there been any bones found? You know,
Why do you think that there hasn't?
Why do I personally think?
Why do you think there hasn't been any bones found? That there's been plenty of bones found.
I personally think they probably buried
them. The problem is, you know, getting them ID'd as a Sasquatch or a true giant is the problem. The bones are there. But what happens to if, let's say, you found some Sasquatch bones, and you say, I think I've got a Sasquatch bone right here. Okay. And they test it, and it says human, mother human. Most times they get filed 13.
Right.
And they say it's been contaminated. Most of what you're going to find out there is going to be Sasquatch. A true giant's going to be a lot harder to find. They're just not as many of them, and if they die, you know, the bones going to more apt to be die. You know, the wilderness takes care of. But if you do find one, it's probably going to be a Sasquatch, and it's probably going to test human mother, something else father, must be contaminated.
Yeah, I know a lot of my non-believing friends, they just don't believe in Sasquatches. And so they always say that. They always say, there's no body. How come there's no body found? How come there's no bones found? How come there's no good photos or videos? And I got to believe that, you know, if they spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes with you, you could tell them exactly where to point, you know, for the good photos and videos, because that's kind of what you do.
Well, I'm looking at a bone right here that came from a canyon up in the Funeral Mountains surrounding Death Valley. And I found these bones along with a sheep horn. And I brought them out of the canyon. They're large enough and look similar enough that they possibly could be something like that. And that I had seen tracks going up in the canyon. That's one reason I went up in there. Is it a Sasquatch bone? I'll say it's a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it laid up in that canyon for years. You know, it's an old bone. So, you know, it's most of it's missing. I've got the joint part. That's it. That's where you're going to find Sasquatch bones, if you find them at all. It's going to be laying about, scattered about by whatever eats bones or whatever wants to chew on one.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find pieces. And I've got I got 3 pieces. But I'd have to have it tested. And I know when I test it, if it did turn out to be a Sasquatch, it's going to test, you know, human mitochondrial and nuclear is going to be, you know, unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Sasquatch. The true giant, there won't be no match in the gen bank anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but they're out there. I mean, you can run across them in canyons. You can run across them in old museums that don't know what they have. You know, you go in there and say, I'd like to see a Sasquatch bone. Do you have one? Well, no. They may be
right.
Full of them, you know?
Right.
It's just, there's too many missing parts to the puzzle. You can't go in there and say, I would like all the pieces that contain the flower on the upper left corner of the photograph on the puzzle box. And they'll say, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, I'm talking about Sasquatch like they're talking, but they're not talking. They're well, you know, arranged across the country, but they're not, you know, overflowing. It's a mystery. It's solved. I think it's probably as far along the road to solvability as it's ever been.
Right.
You know, people are beginning to understand what's being seen. And I'm looking at a poster of Patty right now while I'm talking that's half the life size. She's a rough-looking person. her genetics are so screwed up. She's got hair on her shoulder. No hair on the bicep, hair down below the bicep, no hair along the elbow, hair down on the lower forearm. You know, just a screwed up individual that the genetics are so screwed up. And there's true giant in her that makes her so massive, but there's human in her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying it's Indian. There were 10,000 Chinese in the Bluff Creek area in the 1840s when they were mining gold.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be any kind of a mix. You know, it was uncontrolled, unmonitored. If a person disappeared, what's the Chinese going to do if a person disappears from among them? They didn't have any social security. There was no documentation that they were even in the United States.
Right. They were treated very poorly just as human beings. So if one of them come up missing, there could be people just didn't even notice.
Exactly. So, you know, a true giant may end up having, you know, see, 100 rapes produce one child. That they made over from 1840 to 1900. You see what I mean? You're going to end up mm-hmm. with them. A number of Sasquatch, and
right.
then they're going to have children, and you know it's going to be lots of different mixes.
Right. You know, speaking of the Patterson film again, and you call the Bigfoot, or excuse me, the Sasquatch actually in the Patterson film, you call her Patty, And I remember the day when I was looking at one of your videos, and it wasn't very long ago, because I haven't been looking at Bigfoot Sasquatch videos for very long, but it's probably been in the last 5, 6, 7 years that I've been kind of really interested in the topic. And I remember it was one of your videos, and you were talking about her breasts. And I'm looking on there, and I'm thinking, holy shit, that Bigfoot has boobs. And then I immediately thought, why would somebody – when was it filmed, in the 62 or 63 or
– No, it was 67, actually.
67.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 67. Well, anyway, why would somebody who was going to go about faking a Sasquatch – actually go and put boobs on their costume? I would have never thought of that. And so it was kind of like it was that light switch got pulled on in my brain. I'm like, that's a real freaking Bigfoot right there. It's because of her boobs. And then you've done so much more editing to the footage. And now I was watching one today where you highlighted it, you know. And so you can see so much more clarity, even from when I remember first watching, that she's so clear now with all the work that you've done on her. You can see muscles twitching. It looks like she's got something strung over her shoulder, maybe. It looks like, you know, yeah, you can see the bottom of her feet are different, you know, a different color. It wouldn't have been that like that with a suit. There's so much more clarity. So and it's hard to explain some of those features and some of those details that you've uncovered to people who don't believe, you know. And my favorite Bigfoot videos, obviously, is the Patterson film, because of all that you've done. You've made it easy to like now. But also, I like that Freeman footage quite well too. And you know, just talking with you tonight, Patterson is a Sasquatch, a human hybrid, and the Freeman footage shows a real true giant. And those are two really good films, actually. So go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying that they give us the ability to our world a little better. We can understand that we're not looking at the same thing. That you can't judge one by the other. They're two different films of two different entities, and they're both are stunning to watch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're both are just they're just magnificent in their scope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's for some reason, it really gets to our inner self to see something like that that's human looking, so human looking. And I think that's why we're so fascinated with primates in general. People will go to the zoo for popular places, primates, or the apes, you know, the ape enclosure. You're seeing something like yourself. But it's not you, you know, and it just triggers, you know, a fascination, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it there's a lot of questions that I'd like to ask.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so far I've gotten some answers, but you know, it's the more you clarify the films, you look at them, the more questions you got.
Yeah. Hey, Tina.
Yes.
Drop down to that question number 12 that we have. Ask that question there. That's one of your questions. This is a good time for that. I want to hear what he says about that.
The strange question. Okay. There was a question I wanted to ask you, and you know, I was just wondering what your thoughts may be. I've given this some consideration, spoken to quite a few people, but many people who have seen Bigfoot have also seen UFOs, and has also have had paranormal encounters or activity as well. It seems like if they have one, it seems like they've had all three. And that's one thing that I've always tried to figure out in my mind, is what is the connection of why one? Why you have one? It seems like you usually have the other two. where you've had experience with the other two. And so the majority of people that I know have had experience with all three. And I was just wondering if you had spoken to anybody or if you know anybody that is the same, that's had experience with all three.
Well, I mean, like I said, you're not looking at a human being when you look at it. So you're not going to be looking at a person with the same skill set that we have. So if you take, for instance, a tree giant, and they get, you know, some of them in the neighborhood of well over 10 feet. Okay. Now, if I don't know, there's a new book out called The Quantum Bigfoot by Ron Moorhead, and he goes into some of the special skills that Bigfoot might have or in the area or neighborhood of the quantum physics. But just say, for instance, that something that large could utter sound in the frequency levels below what you can hear. What they call infrasound. Infrasound, if you hit the right notes, will tear your insides up.
Mm. Right.
If the amplitude is loud. You know, you can't hear it. When I say loud, I mean strong. And I've seen some examples. I posted one on my Facebook page of somebody using infrasound to affect water. There's a gland that's right there off of your brain stem, and it's called the pineal gland. And it's built like a third eye. It has a light receptor, a lens. It's got, you know, rods and cones. It doesn't see. It's inside your brain. But it seems to perceive things. And if you take hallucinogenic drugs, their effect is on the pineal gland.
Hmm.
The pineal gland can be affected by a lot of things from an external source. If you were able to hit a tune of frequency that roughed that thing up, then it can make you see things. It can make you experience things. You know, it can cause emotional upset. It can cause fear. It can cause euphoria. It just depends on how it's hit.
Right.
And you don't know why. Of course, now, that's still, a lot of it's untested. I know the military has developed infrasound as a weapon, and they can literally kill a person. But animals, the really big animals like elephants, alligators, jaguars, they all can get down lower than you can hear and scare the heck out of you. You know, in the woods, you don't even know why you're scared. So can they make you see something? Possibly. Can they make you not see something that is there? Possibly.
Hmm.
All things need to be considered because you're not looking at a human. You know, you can't put human parameters on it. All you can do is take it at face value. And
right.
If somebody says, "I saw Bigfoot and a UFO," well, that's what they saw. You know, until you can get an explanation, you just put it all out there on the table.
Hmm.
And if you just dismiss it because it don't sound good, I never made that happen because the whole subject of Bigfoot is on the weird side.
Right
so,
on.
you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody comes and says this happened to me, and I said, well, okay, I consider that. I take it at face value, and so I have a reason not to.
Right.
Because I don't fully understand the capability of a Bigfoot or the Sasquatches, for that matter. I don't think Sasquatch can do it like Bigfoot can. I think the big true giants can really mess with you. But I don't think that the Sasquatch can. I just don't think they have that ability. They're watered down. They're not big enough.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my
have
favorite.
You seen? Yeah, well that's real good stuff there. I never heard that theory or heard that before, but that makes a lot of sense, you know. MK, have you seen any funny Bigfoot videos? Like, you got a couple of them tossing on the ground playing with each other, or maybe there's a couple Bigfoots over in the bushes making sweet, sweet love. Are there any kind of videos out there like that that are funny?
Well, I don't know what tickles your funny bone. You know, there's a video from East Texas where two of them are fighting. They're tussling. And then this huge, a big tall one comes in and runs them both off.
I've seen that. I've seen it. Matter of fact, I was watching one today that it looked like it was from the same area. They're like filming in a mirror or something, right?
Right. Yeah, that's the same one. Yeah. Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
I call him Tall Paul. I stood in that spot. Believe me, that thing. That's a true giant.
The one I saw today.
The other two ran from him.
Yeah. The one I saw today, you were saying was a true giant. You kept saying true giant. Now, I didn't fully understand that earlier when I was watching that video, but now after talking with you tonight, I understand what you meant. That's a Bigfoot that come in there. There's one video where he's like limping or something, and you were making that comparison.
Yeah,
look
right,
how he's
walking. It's hard to say what's going on there. You know, like I said, I do recommend Ron Moorhead's book because when you get to the true giants can pull some things that are otherworldly looking.
Mm.
And they do it with vibrations and a number of other ways. So, Ron goes into that, those possibilities in that book. You have to be able to put some science on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't just pretend it don't happen. So I think Ron does a real good job of using quantum mechanics. But quantum mechanics is a theory, but there's a lot about quantum that expresses itself in actual reality.
Right.
And it's got to do with frequencies, the frequency of light, the frequency of sound, and the interactions between the two.
Well, hold on a second. Let me ask this question real quick. The video I watched this afternoon where the true giant was coming through and he was walking weird. And you had mentioned that a few times. Look how he's walking. Now, what was going on with him? Was he limping or something altogether different?
It's unclear. It's unclear to me what happened. If you notice as he makes his advent across the frame there, that he's part of him veers at the top and then reappears, and then part of him at the leg level disappears and reappears. It's a shimmering effect, and that's what I was talking about, the abilities of a true giant. No one knows.
Oh, okay. So that's all right. Now I'm following you now. It looked like he was limping to me, but it's not a very good video.
It was taken with a security camera, and they realized, the researchers did, that they weren't able to get them to go in front of the cameras. If they knew which way the camera was pointed, they wouldn't walk in front of it. So they started using mirrors, and the mirrors paid off. But, you know, that thing's quite a ways across there. And it got copied onto a VHS and then I got that copy.
Mm-hmm.
I also have talked extensively with the person who took the video. Nobody stayed with the camera. He wasn't there with it. It ran constantly. I mean, there may be 3 hours of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
On the video, And that's the only way they were able to get the videos they did, was to leave them just run constantly. And then that happened so quickly. I mean, between the two that were fighting and then that one coming out, it was just a few minutes, a minute maybe. And I sat there and watched those videos. It was about 50 of them. And 6-hour-long VHS tapes, sit there and watch the monitor, and it'd be the same scene. It just looked like looking at a still photo. Finally, I had to go to the bathroom. I just left it running, came back, and something had been moved. So I backed it up, and there was the big... So you see how quickly you could miss, you know, you have to watch the entire thing. It's very labor-intensive, but well worth it. You know, the stuff that came out of East Texas was extremely enlightening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead, Tina. Ask number 12.
Okay. Okay, my final question. So knowing, after speaking with you, knowing the difference between what you say is Bigfoot and then what is Sasquatch, saying if, say, in my lifetime I saw maybe 10 of each, I mean, which one, I mean, what are the odds, what would be the danger to myself? It would it be depending on whether it was actual a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch that I came across, knowing that if after speaking with you?
It would definitely make a difference. Definitely.
So one would be...
If you look at the track, if you have the opportunity to see the track, Tina, and it's got those toes that are like straight across the front, and they have toes that are splayed. Yeah. You're in danger.
Okay.
You know, if it's a very large version of a human print, you know, with the bulbous big toe, and they curl back, you know, as you go to the right to the little toe, it curls back.
Yes.
Less so. There's no guarantee, but it's less so.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, this is something that Tina and I had talked about maybe it was last night when we were talking, you know, because I've heard that it was said on like many occasions that if someone catches a Bigfoot on video, it's because the Bigfoot has allowed it, meaning that they have on purpose moved from their hiding spot and out in the open for a reason, you know, either for distraction or to provide some sort of protection for a young Bigfoot. Like what I believe is happening in the Freedman footage, you know, in my simple brain, not a Bigfoot researcher, I watched that film and I'm like, she's completely hidden. And then boom, she's out in the open. She grabs her baby and boom, she's gone. And she's kind of hidden, walking off again. So it seems as if you catch a Bigfoot, it's because the Bigfoots allowed you to catch it. Now, the opposite version would be that video from East Texas where they were fooled. But I got to believe that it's extremely hard to fool a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch. We go out into the wilds. We go out into the woods. And that's where they live. They are smarter than we are out in their environment. So do you follow what I'm saying, MK? Do you think there's some validity to that? That, you know, I can be walking down a trail, and if a Bigfoot doesn't want to be seen, I can walk right by it and not even see it.
I believe that to be true to an extent. I think that the Sasquatch, the human hybrid, they have left less gifts along those lines. The true giants have some abilities that are yet they're not explained. And some of it may be in the type of hair that they have. I've seen some hair samples that I believe came from one that showed all different types of transparencies. It was clear, completely clear hair shafts. They were mottled colored. They were all transparent or semi-transparent and could conduct light like fiber optics. when I put the microscope light on it, it came bursting out the other end.
Wow.
Yeah, so you may have a number of things working like that, but there again, with the Sasquatches, it's going to be a mix. You know, you don't know if they're half and half or three quarters and a quarter. You know, you just don't know. So, you know, I will say this. There are no Sasquatch, Bigfoot either, in their right mind, will do what you see the Patterson subject do. That almost never happens.
Well, tell me then, didn't I see a video where you were trying to explain that, where there's it may have been somebody else that was doing it, trying to explain it, where possibly she's distracting Patterson? She's walking across there on purpose. She wants him to follow her.
I mean, I know what happened, but it's not the case of her distracting him.
Okay.
They got something that she wants. They knew she was coming, and I just leave it at that. But
they have something that she wants.
Yeah.
Who, Patterson? Patterson had something?
Yeah.
And so she come out looking for it.
Right. That wasn't her first trip. And that's how
wow.
they got the film. Yeah, there's no way that you can get the film in the manner that they said they got it. They just that's just a story. But I know the rest of the story, but you know, it took me years to get it. But,
wow. Well, you're making
I
me wonder here. I've got my brain is on fire right now. I got to believe that it sounds to me like what they may have that she wants is a baby.
Well, like I said, I'm just going to leave it at that right now. You won't see it. You'll never in any 10 lifetimes ever see a Sasquatch do that under
right.
normal circumstances.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, let me ask you one more question, then we're going to kind of end this. I got a couple of things I want to, you know, I always end the show in the same way, and I want to ask you some funny questions, or not funny, but interesting to me questions. But before we get to that, I got to go back to this the ability for Bigfoot, you know, the true giants, to have like a cloaking mechanism. And I have read a story where a woman's husband, and I hope I get this correct, but the woman's husband went missing. He was a hunter. And she goes out in the woods to find him. And she looks up in a tree, and she sees what she describes as predator from like the movie Predator, like the Arnold Schwarzenegger needs to go deal with this type of shit predator. And do you believe that, you know, who knows what she was seeing, right? Who knows? There's no way of knowing. But do you believe that the true giants may have the ability to completely cloak themselves?
I will say this, that I don't think that a Sasquatch could do that.
Yeah.
But I don't rule it out for a true giant.
Right.
There's a lot they pull off that's poorly understood, and you know it's not hocus pocus. It's the people a popular word for it now is the woo. It's not the woo. It has its roots in a scientific explanation.
Right. Right.
You just until we know that explanation. You have to just take it at face value. This woman says she saw that, then she saw it.
Right.
You know, it's better to accept her word than to throw it out, and it really did happen. You know, never made that. I'd rather be fooled 100 times than to throw something real out and dismiss it.
Right. Right, absolutely.
I think that the true giants can do that. They can pull things off that we don't know, we don't understand.
Right, and it's not like they're doing magic voodoo. Like, there's a physical explanation for it, you know, a scientific explanation. We may not know that yet. We may not know the ability or the is used. But to me, there's always some sort of science behind most things that seemed crazy and paranormal, really. So anyway, hey, that's wow. I've learned a lot from you tonight, MK. That's great. I always like to end my shows by asking my guest, you know, what's the one thing you know, the one thing that you can tell people without a doubt with your life experience that this is true. This is something that's important. This is something that I would really want other people to understand and know. It could be about Bigfoot. It could be about Sasquatch. It could be about anything. But what's that one thing, MK, that one thing that you just know is true and people should know?
Well, if you want to know the honest and goodness truth, I think that a person needs to work on himself until he can develop a mindset that he can accept what he sees. You know, because if you don't accept anything, then you've narrowed your world way down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in my journey with this film, you know, I remember from the early days where people said, don't bother with it. You can't do anything more with it. You know, everything's been done that can be done. But it was, I said, no, I believe this can be done, and I believe this can be done. And I want to understand what I'm looking at. You know, widen your world out a little bit, you know. Don't have pet notions that you hold on to no matter what. I'm convinced in my early days of Bigfooting that I'm looking for a giant hairy ape, okay? Well, you go along, after a few years, you begin to see that this thing has a little bit more complicated than that. It's a little simplistic. But if you just held on to that idea loyally without even allowing some of the other things that these things do, you know, into the picture, into the equation, then you're stuck throwing yourself against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to wear yourself out and get nowhere. And I would like to encourage people to, you know, if you don't believe in Bigfoot right now, that's fine, but look into it. You know, look into the matter. You know, don't just say I don't believe. You know, see if you still think you don't believe after you've looked into it.
Right.
You might surprise yourself.
Have you ever done any Bigfoot research in Indiana? Have you been to Indiana?
My son lives in Indiana. My grandkids are up there.
Mm-hmm.
I stay
so
up there.
You come to Indiana a lot.
I do. It's a 12-hour drive to Indianapolis, no matter how you look at it, but I make it.
Do you think Bigfoot lives in Indiana?
You bet you have to.
Do you really? Okay. You know, my cousin.
Yeah.
My cousin runs the Indiana. I forget what the what it's called, but like Indiana Bigfoot Research Organization or whatever. He runs that. So I've got members of my family who wholeheartedly believe that there are Bigfoot or Sasquatch, actually, probably in southern Indiana.
Probably mostly Sasquatch.
Yeah. Probably Sasquatch. Right. Let me ask you another crazy question. These are questions I ask everybody at the very end. Do you believe that there are aliens that visit our planet?
I don't know. You know, I haven't had the level of exposure to that I have the Bigfoot thing.
Right.
You know, I can talk possibilities, you know, and probabilities, and the universe is so big. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, that no one's had any hard evidence that has taken place, but there's been a lot of suggestive stuff that's pretty interesting, you know, that it could possibly have happened. I'd say, you know, that, you know, I'm open-minded about it.
Who do you think
something about Bigfoot that might kind of go along those lines. And it's something that I read, and the Hoopa Indians, and they consider the Bluff Creek drainage area to be sacred. And the reason why is that they said that before we were on the earth, there was another kind of human.
Huh.
And that they disappeared through a hole in the sky from the top of two peaks in the Bluff Creek area.
That
so
sounds.
There you go.
That sounds kind of alien, actually.
I don't know if I believe it or not. I do believe that they disappeared. I believe that's true. And they say that they disappeared from a hole in the sky. The shamans go up there and train on those two peaks by humming and chanting. And late at night in Bluff Creek, in the middle of the night, I could hear that chanting.
How about that?
And they're still doing it. They're chanting, and they're trying to reach a frequency. Now, I don't know whether that frequency opens up a hole in the sky or whether it opens up the pineal gland or what.
Right.
But they're doing
right.
it because I heard them doing it.
Let me ask you a conspiracy question. Who do you think killed JFK?
Someone who was mad at him.
Somebody what?
I have someone who's mad at him.
Yeah, well.
No, I really don't know who did. But I've done a lot of work on the Zapruder film, and I did similar things to it that I did to the Patterson film. And I also did some work on the Orville Nix film, and that was at the request of the Orville Nix family that I stabilized it and enhanced it. And it to me, it looks like the fatal shot was fired from just to the left of Abraham Zapruder where he was standing, and that white facade, that curved facade, and the trajectory of the bullet can easily be seen, by the direction of the head. The head opened up, and it's gory, but if you can watch it, you can see where the bullet was headed, came from, and where it was headed.
So not from the book depository building.
Not the fatal shot. Not the one that the head shot. You know,
right.
I think the other one would have been fatal. You know, it didn't have time to be. Now,
this is
what I did. I did a similar type of process where I did transition frames on that. And what I was looking for was to run it slowly and see if I could see any kind of glint or gleam of anything shiny rain down after that shot. Because I had heard that the round was full of mercury. The bullet was full of liquid mercury, and it caused it to explode violently. And I did see glimmer and gleam on the sidewalk, something shining, behind the limo on the sidewalk there.
Right, right. Yeah, we're running out of time here.
It would be somebody who had those type rounds.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Which, you have to look into that.
Right, right. And we're running out a little bit of time here. I want to make sure I gave you full time to finish these last two kind of conspiracy questions. One of them is not a conspiracy, but do you believe that we actually sent men to the moon and that we actually had men walk on the moon? Do you believe that?
Well, I believe that if you were willing to get on board of a 5-story rocket and fly out of sight into the sky, you might as well go on to the moon. I think they went to the moon. Yeah. I mean, there's some people who make arguments, but I think they did.
That's hilarious. I like how you said that. Okay, my last one, unless Tina's got anything after this, When you die, are you going to haunt people?
That's a good question. I like to haunt Bigfoot. He's haunted me.
Yeah, right. Shit, why not? When you're a ghost, you can pretty much go anywhere you want, right?
Say boo.
Right, yeah, find out for sure where he's living, right. That's a good one. I like that. What about you, Tina?
Do I have any more questions? No.
Yeah,
no.
You got anything else? Or? Okay.
No,
Nothing
else. Nothing else.
Well, MK, I appreciate having you on. Tina, I appreciate having you on. You guys were great to talk with tonight. It was a lot of fun. I got a couple giggles out of it. It's pretty good. So thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. Yeah, I appreciate you. We got to have you back on because especially about the JFK thing, we could probably have a whole show about that. I did not realize you stabilized that video. So that's a whole other show.
Yeah, it is.
So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us tonight. And I really appreciate my guests. I really appreciate MK and all the work that you've done and the Bigfoot. In the Bigfoot realm, and Tina, I appreciate you being my friend and talking about Bigfoot with me, and I can't wait for you guys to come over. Hey, MK, next time you come to Indianapolis or Indiana, we're gonna have to look each other up. I'd like to shake your hand, and you go show me where there's some Bigfoots here in Indiana.
I will do that.
Yeah, that'll be great. So everybody, thanks. Hey, special show next Friday. I can't make the announcement right now because I haven't been able. Wasn't given the authority to yet, but I have been working hard on something that's going to be a hell of a lot of fun next Friday. My guest was going to be Victoria Price, which is Vincent Price's daughter. She had written his biography, and she was going to come on, and looks like she had to bail on me. She's got something else and more important going on. I am not the most important person in a lot of people's lives. I know that's hard to believe, but it happens that every now and then somebody's got something better to do. So I've been in the works. We're going to do something a lot of fun next week, probably have an on-site thing. So, and maybe a little contest going on. So I appreciate everybody listening, and good night. Off the Air Radio Show is now off the air. Thank you to my guests. Thank you to my sponsors. Thank you to my listeners. And to my two beautiful children, Carter and Reagan. If you're ever lost, I will never stop looking for you.